Welcome to the lecture series of Public Theology, a cooperation of the Berlin Institute for Public Theology, the Beyersnaude Center for Public Theology, and the Lutheran World Federation.
In the name of God, most gracious, the dispenser of grace, the title of this short talk is An Islamic Ethics of Beauty in Establishing Viable Planetary Futures. I start by suggesting that Islam has a powerful ethical tradition from which flow a public process and expressions of justice, mercy, and dignity. Islam has over many centuries firmly established a rich ethical resource base that guides human endeavor. Its ethical tradition is characterized by mercy, forgiveness, love, and compassion. And ethics of beauty and dignity are the cornerstones and bedrock of its claim on moral virtue and its place and contributions in the world. Beauty, in Arabic ihsan, and dignity, in Arabic karama, are some of the higher order defining qualities of the Islamic faith tradition. During the height of the exercise of Islam's lush moral tradition, its regulative regimes and legal traditions were organized on the basis of the conditioning qualities of beauty, mercy, love, and dignity, from where it made its contribution to philosophy, mysticism, literary cultures, and science, well before the European Enlightenment. The Islamicate legacy has provided the world an enormously creative art and architectural tradition that stretched from Baghdad to Andalusia to the Ottoman Empire, Mughal India, Safavid Persia, Turkic China, and to the coasts of East, West, North, and South Africa. Islam joined the pantheon of luscious and compassionate traditions in providing its societies with an integrated and cohesive sense of adaptation and coexistence over the span of time. Islamic societies adapted its structures, institutions, to the vicissitudes and challenges associated with changes caused by various forms of dislocation in specific times and places, at specific historical moments, whether these were caused by famine, war, expansionism, urbanization, changing demographic patterns, responses to weather, climate, and geography. Islam's ethical and moral coordinates have always been invested, at some times more visible and stronger than at other times, in the drama of human existence, survival, and adaptation. Like with many other faith and non-faith traditions, the ethical foundations of Islam have undergone decisive renovation, especially in the encounter with colonial modernity from the late 17th into the 18th century. The political foundations of Islam's institutions and state or governmental systems were rearranged. Education and the judiciary were ensnared by colonial modernity's gaze. Islam's epistemic or intellectual tradition was ruptured by modernity's impact, and its ethical grounding was dislodged in this period from its institutions. Adaptations were made to these new colonial imposed political, education, law, and governance structures. Modernity's morality was experimented with in the public domain, and various pan-Arab, pan-Islamic, and some Ba'athist socialist experiments became visible, especially in the early 20th to mid-20th century. The rise of the Zionist State of Israel propped up by American and Western imperial interests, combined with the discovery of oil in Muslim countries to lay the basis for imperial politics that dominated and still dominates the region. The Iranian Revolution of 1979 was the first direct countrywide reaction and response to the in the 20th century to the imperialist motivations in the Middle East. The incessant imperial wars in the Middle East from the 1970s onwards caused the death of millions in the region, which laid the platform for the rise of Islamism based on maximalist or fundamentalist political and religious expressions. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and Al-Shabaab were all movements who rejected Western domination and modernity on the basis of a pre-Islamic template which circulated static pre-modern expressions of religiosity and institutional organization. Religious discourses underpinned by strong reactive identity claims began to trump the ethical intent of more universal, inclusive questions of co-living, sharing, and cooperation. And ethically informed responses and adaptation struggled to emerge in the face of the need for social adaptation to tremendous changes, political, economic, social, that Muslim societies confronted in the second half of the 20th century and in contemporary times. Questions of poverty, gender, ethnic, racial, and class domination, and other forms of exclusion remain challenges in Muslim societies. The ethical dimension seems especially challenged when it comes to Muslim institutional responses to climate change, productive pandemic responses, poverty eradication, and general institution building to address broad societal structural problems. The Quran gives us ample warning of situations when we are confronted with massively confounding challenges. In chapters 36, verse 45, Allah, God, declares that, I quote, "When they are told, beware of what lies before you and behind you, so that you may be given mercy. They ignore every single sign that comes from their Lord," unquote. The Muslim philosopher Ziauddin Sardar, whose work I use amply in this piece, explains that this verse suggests that we need some awareness of what is before us, that is, in the near future, and behind us, the momentum of history, to achieve the mercy of God, that is, prosperity in this world and reward in the hereafter. Sardar explains that the past is connected to the future in two ways with the word beware. When suffocating aspects of history are projected onto the future, it is choked. And the second instance of having to be aware of beware is that the mercy of God is denied when we are, when we deny the history, the lessons of history. But when life-enhancing ideas are projected, the future is enlightened and is open to all conventional as well as dissenting possibilities. And then the mercy of God is granted. Muslims are required both to engage with the world and change it. The Quran repeatedly asks Muslims both to change themselves and to constantly strive to change the world so that it could become a more just, equitable, and peaceful abode for humanity. So both as individuals and societies, Muslims have to labor and work towards the future that they desire. Sardar suggests that viable, desirable futures do not happen by chance. They require effort, thought, thinking, strategic planning, visioning, and hard graft, hard work. Ziauddin Sardar explains that chaos, complexity, globalization, and information technology have created a new present that is radically different from all recent pasts. We have entered a period where rapid change, uncertainty, and ambiguity are ever present, and the individual has tremendous power to do good or bad. In these, what he described as post-normal times, our traditional and conventional ways of solving problems does not work. All overarching explanations, the mythology that bound and made society viable, become toxic, the bearers of pathogens that infect society with distrust and a lack of confidence. In such post-normal times, we know we have abilities, but not necessarily the systemic, ethical, and organizational capacity to translate our abilities into providing sustainable solutions to endemic and interrelated problems. In normal times, uncertainties are small and manageable. But in post-normal times, uncertainty takes center stage, since everything is connected, complex and chaotic, and changing rapidly. Nothing can actually be described with any certainty. This is quite evident that historical examples of Islam's success and failures struggle for relevance in these post-normal times. And so we need an Islamic ethical perspective that is fit for our current complex times. Such a perspective will take the interconnections in our globalized world into consideration. Islam would thus be open to developing an inclusive worldview that promotes equality and plurality at all levels of society, and that brings Muslims and non-Muslims together to work for a sustainable world and viable futures for all. In such a way, Ziauddin Sardar argues, the emphasis would be on human rights, equal opportunities for women, freedom of conscience, the right to dissent, criticism and counter-criticism, mutuality, respect for other religions, and universality. Let me bring such a perspective home to more localized conditions and challenges. Communities are confronted with political infractions and seemingly intractable challenges on a daily basis. The challenge is for all faith and non-faith traditions to develop in alliance with each other ethically informed social responses to mitigate the impact of complex challenges and help in the quest to establish sustainable planetary existences into the future. Such a quest should be based on fidelity to science, sharing of resources, addressing poverty alleviation, and bearing witness to God's justice in our ethical conduct. This is particularly important on the terrain of gender justice, where we are confronted with the need to participate in ongoing struggles against patriarchy and gender oppression. We have to offer readings and interpretations of our sacred texts that respond to the ethical prerequisite to accord justice to those who are oppressed among us, women, the poor, and the marginal, what is called in the Quran, the Masakin. Our religious languages should unequivocally call out and act against the oppression of women. And instead, the elevation of women's status must become the defining feature of Muslim society's ongoing practices. A second example for ongoing ethical struggle is in the realm of engagement with digital technology. This is an urgent task. In our current post-normal times, digital technology via the smartphone, various ICT platforms charged by algorithmic reason and big data surveillance have conferred onto human existence an overwhelming techno-digital presence. The smartphone has become an extension of our body. Social media presence has defined our self-image, and interpersonal communication and everyday existence is impacted by the digital. Religious discourse has lagged in their response to guide and inform ethical behavior with respect to our immersion in the technological and our digitally framed existences. This is an area of enormous rethinking, reimagination, and the animation of the ethical. We should therefore develop languages that speak compellingly into our becoming dominated by our digital emergence, retaining our sense of autonomous individualism, our communal and relational existence with others. Using the digital for the advancement of the public good must become the reflexive material for our human responses, lest we fail to secure a healthy, reflexive interaction with smart technology and machines, which will turn us into zombies. Reimagining the terms of our humanness in active, critical, and productive interaction with the digital has now become one of the most important ethical challenges of our times. A final example relates to our planetary existence. Climate change is threatening to exacerbate inequalities in the world, in addition to deleting the Earth's resources, making sustainable livelihoods unviable. The Quran places the Earth's survival at its ethical center. Humans are expected to play a central role in securing the physical and environmental conditions to secure sustainable livelihoods. Yet, our imaginations for securing such a future cannot and must not be limited to only the human's place in it. Such an anthropocentric, human's only view of existence must be replaced by a commitment to planetary futures. This involves all animate and inanimate dimensions, living and non-living organisms that exist on this planet, animals, plants, forests, humans, the Earth's geography, and sea life. Human egocentrism must be overcome. In its place, we must imagine our planetary existences as involving in equal measure all the life dimensions and all the life forms of our planetary life. This is where an ethical tradition of beauty, the example offered by Islam and other living ethical traditions, must align at its most beautiful and compelling. This is where we require ihsan, a commitment to God's beauty, excellence, and goodness, as we come together to confront the challenges of sustainable planetary futures. This requires joined up activism among all people, what the Quran calls amal al-salihat, which means productive, righteous, ethically informed everyday practices and activism. A reimagined vision of just living is at the core of such a perspective. Thank you very much.